Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we are going to go deep into some very complex ideas, and I sure hope that most of you can benefit from it. There's no other way to explain it. There's no other way to get it across other than to give you the deep concepts. I could sugarcoat it and just throw you a sales pitch that you should change your life and whatever, but I'm going to go into the raw, painful facts of what we're talking about. So we'll start the conversation with this concept. When I gave the two-day seminar, I used to start the second day, the beginning of the second day, by having everybody take everything that they had in passive income the year before. In other words, something you didn't have to go to work for. It just came from rental income. It came from distributions of some type, but it wasn't related to work. And divide all that by what your net worth was and figure out what your net worth was and then divide it. And what we found was, and have for 34 years of teaching, is that most people, the average person, has less than 1% return on their net worth. In other words, you have money. You have way more money than you think you have, or whatever amount of money you do have, it's not doing anything for you. So if you don't have your money working for you, then you have to work for money. Whereas I have my money working for me, so I don't have to work for money. Now, having said that, we're going to add an additional word to the conversation today, and the word is called entropy. Entropy is the natural, it's natural for things to fall apart. It's natural for anything that God built to eventually fall apart, be eliminated, go back to the earth. So whatever man tries to develop and tries to hold on to, you're fighting with the natural forces of entropy, the dissolution of energy. Anything you own in life is an accumulation of energy, whether it's your fitness, whether it's your finances, whether it's your family. You've accumulated and held together this mass of energy in any of these different forms to create something, whether it be your wealth, your fitness, or your family. But if you don't constantly work at keeping that energy together, entropy will take it apart. So where does that lead us? That leads us into a discussion that each and every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, some of us do it four times a year, we dig back into what we own and we look at it and say, are our assets doing us any good? The challenge, folks, is that many of you, I don't know what percent it would be, seems to be very high to me, maybe as high as 80%, don't do that. They wait until they're 50, 60, 70 years old, and they've accumulated stuff. And over a period of time, this accumulation of assets that they work so hard to accumulate has become worthless to them. In fact, sometimes worse than worthless, as I'll go through today. So I've got three different folks who sent me emails, and let's just frame it for what it is. These people all seem like nice, kind people that are going, hey, I've got all these assets. What should I do with them? Well, the question to me is not what should you do with them as much as is why haven't you done something with them? Why are you sitting there on your thumb and your assets and letting them do nothing for you? Now, having said that, I'm sure these people that wrote me these emails are very kind people. I'm not going to use their name. I'm not going to use where they live in any way, shape, or form. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm trying to put down the concepts that they've lived by. And they need to be put down because they're terrible constructs to live under. They don't make sense at all. And so I want to take those ideas apart at the seams. So let's start with this first email. And by the way, if you want to send me an email, feel free to send it. I answer all my emails. You can send them to askdel@luinc.com. That's askdel@luinc.com. And LU is Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc., luinc.com. So send me your questions. I'll be happy to answer them for you. But don't think I'm going to answer them the way you want. I had a lady yesterday that we brought on the radio, one of the emails, and told me all this stuff that she wanted to do. And really what she wanted to do was throw away $800,000 to get into real estate and end up with $200,000. Don't do it. You got a great pension. You're going to get X amount of money the rest of your life. Don't do it. She didn't like that. She wanted to tear everything down she had and go try something new she'd never done. Well, you know, that's painful. But I got to tell you the truth. What we're trying to do here is put passive streams of income into your life so that you don't have to work for those streams of income. All right. Having said that, let's go into this. We own three paid in full residential properties, an acre plus each. Now, we don't have to go any further than that. Any piece of real estate you own, free and clear, is a waste. No matter, even if you're getting rental income for it, your return on that deal has got to be somewhere around 6 to 7%, because that's what the cap rates are in these things. That means that's all you're going to actually earn. Now, if you put leverage on it, like a mortgage, you can earn as high as 15 to 25% turn, depending on how you set it up, what your mortgage is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The larger the mortgage, generally the higher the rate of return. The lower the cash flow, but the higher the rate of return. And what you have to understand is by putting a mortgage on there, whatever this house, these three houses are worth, that money comes out, goes in your hands, and you can go do something to create more passive income with it. Just the most basic concept of all. And now these fine people are asking me, what should I do? And if they've listened to this radio show at all, if you've listened to this radio show at all, if you've done anything to look into what we do, you know the first thing you got to do is get some debt, right? But no, we're Dave Ramsey fans. We want to be out of debt, all right? But it's worse than that. Let's go on. It says they're in the country, not in the city limits. Two others are described further below, three of them. Now they talk about the individual who owns these. And that individual is a semi-disabled veteran and served during the Vietnam War. After years of buying and selling real estate as investors, we are now in our 70s, that's husband, wife. Our efforts shifted to some humanitarian and other interest a year ago. All right, is there anything wrong with humanitarian? Absolutely not. If you would have set yourself up to where you live in a very successful position with all that real estate investing you did, then you could go all over the world and do humanitarian work. It would be great. But it doesn't sound like that's what they did if we go further in the email. It says, our income is too low. Well, there it is. Their income is too low. It's a statement right out of the blocks. Our assets are predominantly only the real estate. So they've put all their money in real estate. Okay. We need significant and rather low risk more passive income. And I'm going to go through and tear this apart with you today, and hopefully something will ring a bell for you. So the first, they're talking about three different properties that they have that still a part of what they own. And they go on and say, the first one has 1 acre house located in, blah, I'm not going to say where, it's in the county, not in the city. It's older, it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a huge garage and workshop. The house attic could be finished out to make additional loft room. Okay, so right there, that discussion in and of itself is a waste of time, right? So the garage, let's see here, it has a huge garage, okay, good. That's worth something, whatever it is. And it has an attic that could be turned into a loft, but that's not good because you're going to spend money to create a loft. And that doesn't necessarily mean you get more rent for it or whatever. But worst of all, you own this property free and clear, and you're living in it. So you're saying, well, we could get all this money from this thing, and it's worth a lot more. Now, by the way, they say it would be worth more as a commercial property. I don't know that that's actually the case. I would have to see their fact-finding to see that happen, because my commercial properties are not necessarily worth more than my residential properties. But, you know, I'd have to see their facts. The property is on 1 acre and has a triplex on it and a huge garage. Okay, so what is 1 acre? They say 1 acre like an acre's a lot. My house is on 2.5 acres. It's just my house. 1 acre is not a huge amount of land. Now, if you live in a townhouse and you're on a half of an acre or a quarter acre lot, Well, then you, an acre, like, well, wow, that's an acre. But the land doesn't mean anything to most people, right? Unless, and of course, this isn't in the cities, out in the rural areas, unless it's some guy that's got a tractor and a diesel truck that he drives, and he wants to just have a place to put all that stuff by the house where he lives. Maybe that's interesting. He's got a huge garage, okay? So maybe the guy has a bunch of farming tools or something, he needs a store or whatever. But the bottom line is, it is what it is, what it is, what it is, and all of that. Thinking that something could be worth more doesn't make it worth any more just because you think it could be worth more. The bottom line is, this asset has X value, whatever it is, and they don't know it. They don't know it. They think they could manipulate it, but they don't know what it is now, right? Goes on and says, it has a triplex on it also with a huge garage. So now you've got a house and you've got a triplex, so that's really four houses. And a huge garage, four houses on 1 acre. When you think about that, now that land is not that big anymore, right? You know, that's four houses on 1 acre. That's a quarter acre per house. Again, it's worth something, but they don't even know what it is. The property likely could be turned into commercial purposes, real estate, to increase its value. Its value appreciates significantly and regularly. So how do they know its value increases? They don't. What they're probably thinking is, my property taxes go up on it regularly. In other words, the assessed value goes up. The assessed value, for those of you who don't know this, has nothing to do with the true value of the property. It's whatever the county or whatever the city can get you to believe it's worth, that you won't go into court and fight them over it. I fight the value of my properties every single year, every single property that I pay the property taxes on. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. There are commercial properties I own. I own about 20 commercial properties, and I don't pay the taxes. They're triple net leases, so the tenant pays the taxes. So if the tenant wants to fight the taxes, they can, because they pay the taxes. I don't pay the taxes. If I were to have to take one of them back, if one of the leases would be broken, I would then go fight the taxes on the property. And without a lease in there, the property's worth nothing. Because these commercial deals are all about the tenants. If there's no tenant in there, the property's worth nothing. I'd fight the taxes down to almost nothing. Okay? But what you should get from all this is that if I own this property, I would know exactly what this property was worth. I would know exactly what it would be worth as a house or as a commercial property. I would look at all my options, and I would either go get a mortgage on all this and get out some money I could go buy some more productive real estate with, or I would sell it. Now, they say if we sell, I think if we sold the location, we would need a desirable home without monthly payments. Well, let me help you with a little secret here if you're old. Anybody who's 65 years of age or older, husband and wife both have to be over 65, you can get something called a reverse mortgage. What that means is, you go buy a house, and instead of getting debt that you pay, you get debt that has no payments. And the payments are just tacked onto the back of the mortgage. And anytime you want to sell the house, you still own the house. Anytime you want to leave the house to your kids, they still own the house. It's just there's a mortgage on there, but it's a mortgage with no payments. So this thing they're thinking so impossible to do is very possible to do. In fact, they could get a reverse mortgage on their homestead, if this is what they're calling this thing, and pull out $1 million and have no payment. It's just so easy. But they just haven't looked into it. Now you say, well, Dell, be kind that they're asking you. Yes, they are. But they're 70 years old. They should have asked this at 50. They should have asked this at 51, 52, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I do this. I'm sitting here right now with my portfolio, going through it, seeing where the weaknesses are on my portfolio. Too much equity here. We got to get that out of there. We got to refinance that. We got to get some debt. So I'm calling around to three or four different debt institutions yesterday looking for debt. What can I get for this kind of a property? What can I get for this kind of a property? It's time to re-up some debt on some of my stuff. I've owned it too long. It's got too much equity in it. I got to get the equity out. Then I called all the brokers I know. I'm going, look, I'm about ready to refinance out all this equity. I'm going to have all this extra cash. I need to buy something. Let's go back to all the deals that we looked at in the last year, year and a half, that they wouldn't sell at the price I wanted to buy it at, and see if those deals are still there. And hence, some of those deals are still there. So we'll take another run at them. Go, hey, you tried to sell to me a year ago. You were holding out because at that time in the world, prices were 20 to 30% higher. They've come down 20 to 30%. Why don't you just let it go? And that's what I got to do. And that's what you've got to do, too. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are diving deeply into the concept of entropy to your portfolio of investments, how over time you let things fall apart. You let them become unprofitable. And the email we're going through right now is from a couple that seemed like a very nice couple in their 70s. And after I read you what I read in the first two segments, I emailed them and said, give me some more information on this. How much is each asset worth? How much debt's on each asset? And what cash flow comes from each asset is what I asked them. And this is what they sent back to me. Here's the general answers below. It goes, property number one could be converted to commercial property, in my opinion. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, I have no idea where that opinion comes from, what her basis is on that. Secondly, it's currently a triplex 322 house with a workshop. She keeps bringing this point up that there's a workshop. I have a workshop in my house. I don't think that my house is worth more because I have a workshop. It may be, but if you don't have an appraisal, if you don't have offers on it, how do you know, right? It's paid for. That in itself is a gigantic mistake because there's no leverage in this situation, which means there's no real profit. Goes on, and by the way, they're living in it, so there's no profit there anyway. There is the three. It's on approximately 1.2 acres. It has not been appraised nor comped out. So you're calling me, asking me what to do. We're not calling, but sent me an email. I'm not mad about it. Don't get me wrong. But you've not even taken the time to find out what your assets are worth, let alone now you're saying, well, what should I do with my assets? Well, how can I tell you if I don't know what they're worth? You haven't done anything except let all this mess occur. I am chastising you. Yes, I am. I don't even know the people, but I don't mean to be mean. I'm just being brutally honest. What are you doing? The next thing is the triplex is rented at less than market rent as a favor. What in the world does that mean, less than market rent as a favor? What do you mean a favor? A favor to who? Not to you and your spouse. You said in the email, we don't have enough income. You got to go over there and say, tenants, you got to pay your fair share. We need income to live on. This is our only asset. You can't live there for free or for cheap. I don't get it. They're currently, the each triplex rented for $597, $642, and $597. So they're all at least worth $642. We know one person that paid that, but they're probably worth more like $800 or $900 a month. They don't tell us the size of them. We don't really know. But she's saying they're under market, but she's doing somebody a favor. So she's losing at least $50 a month on two of them. That's at least $100 a month more that could come in. But it might be $300 each. It might be $200 on these two and $50 more on this one or $100 more. Might be $500 a month they're losing. Could you not use that $500 a month? Goes on and says, if we decided to rent the two garages of the triplex, it would bring in even more. If we decided to, why aren't you? And by the way, if the triplex has a garage, then the $597 rent, the $600 a month rent with a garage, that's got to be $800 or $900 a month value to have a garage and a house to live in. Just again, they're destroying their own net worth. Okay, we are occupying the house. My guess is that with the workshop, it would go between $900 and $1,500. $950 and $1,500. So that is a major difference. $950 to $1,500. That's $550 difference. My guess is, why is it a guess? Let's find out what the comps would rent it for, right? The attic could be built out for another room. Now, you're not going to rent a room to just your attic, and you're going to spend money for that. And you'd have to find out, okay, how many bedrooms? I think this is the 322. Does making it a 422 make the rent go up that much? And if so, what does it cost to do the renovation of the attic? And you figure that out and say, well, if we can put in a fourth bedroom, does it make it worth it? And do the analysis. But again, you have to know, will it rent for $1,500 or $950? And what would it rent for as a four-bedroom? Again, research. Like I told you, I'm sitting here at the beginning of the year. I'm going through all of my portfolio, my 27 different companies, and analyzing everyone. In fact, I got a meeting right after I get out of this radio show with my team on Lifestyles Unlimited. And we're going through Lifestyles Unlimited and ripping out the waste and abuse and uselessness that goes on in every company over a period of time. Entropy occurs. It destroys companies. It destroys portfolios. And you got to do it every year. And some people should do it every 6 months, and some people should do it every quarter, depending on how large your investment assets are, how fluid they are, et cetera, et cetera. Goes on and says, property number two is approximately 1 acre. It's a three-bedroom, one-to-three-bathroom. I don't know what one-to-three-bathroom, four-car garage house, or I have no idea what this means. Currently a relative we are close to lives there without a charge. You've got a three two, four, and you're collecting no rent for it, for a relative we're close to. Mom, dad, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you need to get them out of there and put somebody in there that will pay, right? Move mom. You got that attic? Redo that attic and put mom, if that's who it is, up in your attic. I don't know who it is, but again, either that or sell the thing. If you don't got the guts to tell them they got to get out, go, look, we got to sell it. We're broke. I'm sorry. We're broke. You're going to have to go find a place to live with somebody, somewhere. I can't give you an entire house and an acre of land for free. Might even be a kid. It's probably a 30 or 40-year-old kid. If they're 70, their kids got to be 30 to 40, 50 years, and they're living there for free on them. I bet it's a kid. It's either going to be a parent or a kid. Instead of a family member we're close to. Property number three, four-bedroom, one-and-a-half-to-three-bath. I still don't understand what that means. One-and-a-half-to-three-bath and four-car garage. Again, I don't know if that's even... Maybe she doesn't know how to write this. Maybe it's a four-bedroom, four-bath. I don't know. A year or two ago, the rental market online appeared to show this worth about $1,200 a month. We don't have comps on the property. We're not renting it at this time. We owe a private lender around $25,000. All right, did you just hear what I read you? It's a four-bedroom, two-bath, four-car garage house. And it should rent for around $1,200 a month as of a year ago, but we're not renting it this time. Not only are we renting it, there's a mortgage of $25,000. We owe a private lender around $25,000 on it. Why are they not renting it? So how do we come at this, right? Let me see where my time is. We've got just a few minutes to the end of this segment. Let's look at it from one point of view. I'll come back after the segment and tell you what I'd really want to do with it if it were me. In this particular situation, I would get all these people out that aren't paying rent, all of them that are paying less than full rent, and I'd go back and make them sign new leases at market rent. I'm sure if they're paying less than market rent, they don't even have a lease, or if they have a lease, it's expired. They're just letting them pay month to month. Typical stuff. The other stuff isn't even rented. You've got one relative living in one. You've got the other one blank. And I would get these things leased up right away. That in itself could bring you in, I'm just guessing, $200 in each of the triplexes. That's $600 a month more. There is $950 to $1,500. Let's just say $1,000 there. There's another $1,200 there. Another $1,200 in this other one that's $2,400. $600. You're talking about $3,000 a month. Now, if you did nothing with your portfolio, you could get $3,000 a month more, right? Now, there's another possibility, and that other possibility is quite simply that you go get a mortgage on some of this stuff pull the money out, fix it all up, raise the rents, and buy more real estate. And so here in the last segment, I'm going to tell you what I would do. And if this couple is listening, this is exactly what I'd do. First of all, I'd take the first property that I live in, and I would raise the rent on those triplex on all three of them to whatever market rent is. There's no reason to have tenants and have them not pay market rent. I would also ask those tenants if they wanted to rent the garages. You have two garages for the triplex. I would make that a part of the rent, and if the tenant doesn't want that, I would find new tenants that wanted to pay more to have the unit plus a garage. But I would make sure that I got the maximum out of that. I don't know if the garages could be rented by themselves, if somebody actually would do that or not. But if they would, I'd rent them. They definitely need to be rented, and I think to get added to the triplex is the easiest way to do it and raise the rent on the triplex because now you have a garage. Two of them have a garage, and then the shop you keep talking about, I don't know if it's attached to the house, if it's like part of the house, or if it's actually a shop. And if it's actually a shop, I would go to one of the triplex people and find somebody wants to rent the triplex that would want a shop. Or somebody that doesn't live there want to rent the shop. I'd rent the shop out. Because it doesn't sound like at 70 years of age you're doing any shop work. I do shop work. I have a shop. I love my shop. But, you know, that might be if the shop is your fun thing, if it is like mine, then keep the shop. But definitely get the triplex or anything. Now, why would I keep this group of real estate? I'd keep it because I live there. Next thing I'd do, I'd get a reverse mortgage, a home personal reverse mortgage, to where they would give me the money out of the house, the value out of the house as a loan, but I'd have no payments until after I die. Just a novel concept. And then take that money and go buy some more rental real estate close by that you can manage, that is easy to manage because it's close by. Or take the money and buy into passive deals with somebody else. But I'd want to make sure it's somebody I truly trust that has a very positive cash flow situation. There are situations out there in commercial real estate where you can get triple net leases, where you lease out a commercial building and they do everything. You do nothing. And up in my age group, 70 years of age, like I am, I like that stuff, and I have a bunch of it. But it's not the only thing you can do. Now, the other two houses, the one with the family member living in it for free and the other one just sitting there vacant, both of which are nowhere near where you live, the two other cities, these houses, I didn't name the cities they're from, but they're spread out. They're not near. Okay, one of them's in, New Caney, Texas. The other one's in Orange, Texas. And these people are relatively close to Houston, Texas. They don't live in Houston, but they're adjacent to Houston. Just ridiculous to own rent houses when you're 70 years old out in the middle of nowhere and let them be there just empty and free and clear, right? So I would sell those houses, get that money out, and again, figure out what I could do close by to make me more money. Definitely. Renting them far away like that might be difficult, especially, you know, if you're getting up in your age and you really they're saying, hey, we want to retire and we want to go do our philanthropic stuff. That's fine. That's where I'm at. But I still have to make money. And so I buy investments that are not that much trouble for me. Now, I own apartment complexes too, but I don't run them. I have management companies that run them. So I don't do that work, but I own them. So that's a possibility, too. If you sold these two houses and pulled the money out of the house you're living in, you could maybe buy a small apartment complex, get a management company to run it. Maybe that's the way you want to go. But whatever you do, anything that you do would be better than what you're doing right now. That's the problem. Right now, you're doing nothing. And that's been the problem. So, folks, all of you out there, let's go through this. You need to, right now, at the beginning of the year, sit down and figure out, first of all, what is every one of your assets worth, right? And then figure out what the net value of the asset is. And then look at what it's producing you and look at the return you're getting on that. If you don't know what to do with all that information, for $297, you can join up here, go through our course, and we'll teach you how to look at all this stuff, how to analyze it, and then how to fix it, how to change everything and make good, logical investment decisions that will improve your cash flow and make your life better. In fact, most of the members here, our statement is between 2 and 7 years. And I wrote the first book, 7 Years to Retirement. Then everybody started doing it in five or less. Then everybody started doing, not everybody, but some people started doing it in two or less. So somewhere between 2 and 5 years seems to be kind of the ballpark that people are finding the ability to replace their earned income with passive income. So if you, you know, you say, well, I don't want to wait 2 to 5 years, go, well, then you're never going to do it. To think that if you can't do it as fast as you want it is any better than not doing it ever is just dumb as a rock. You need to start now. It's the beginning of the year, which leaves me one last email I wanted to get in here today somewhere. As the lady said, you said, I was listening to your radio show last year, and you said if you don't get started now, you'll miss out, right? The reality is that what I was saying is if you don't get in here and get educated now, some period of time, all these great deals we're getting are going to slow down. Now, the deals are great right now because the prices have come down. Interest rates have come down. We got a perfect timing for getting some great deals. What I was saying to her was, and this was in probably December of last year, was you got to get in here, get educated now because these deals, you know, will last next year. You will miss out eventually. So the point is, it's not too late. You need to get in here, need to get educated, and you need to get started. So all that said, remember this, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.